ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
We're joined by David Crowe, Chief Political Correspondent with The Age and The Sydney Morning Herald. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Patricia.
Immigration. There's a lot of concern, as you heard from Zoe Daniel there, over the contents of the legislation, the way it's being handled by the government. Where are we at? Will it be passed today?
Oh, I think it'll be passed today because I think that this is a situation where the government wants it through, and I think the coalition will end up, supporting it because it's the coalition that's been accusing Labor of being weak on detention, immigration, and so forth. And I think this really tests all of that rhetoric in order to get a new bill through. Yesterday, it went through the House. It was voted against by the crossbenchers, but not all crossbenchers. Rebecca Sharkey, Bob Catter, Andrew Gee voted with the government and the coalition in favour of this bill. All the other crossbenchers, including Dai Li, were against it. I think there'll be a big tussle in the Senate today, but the government wants it through. It deals with a situation with detainees who are not cooperating in being sent back to their original country. An incredibly vexed issue, but it's an issue that's going before the High Court in a case known as ASF 17. This is an Iranian man who has not cooperated. And if the government loses that case, then they've got a new cohort of immigration detainees that they may have to release. And so the timing is interesting. Some of the questions are about, well, why now? Mm. Well, there happens to be a government submission going in on the ASF 17 case at the end of this month. And there's a hearing in the High Court in the middle of next month on ASF 17. This is pretty much the last time for Parliament to make any legislation in this space because Parliament's on a break for 5 or 6 weeks before the May budget. Now, I don't have inside intel about all the linkages here, but this is all in the same area and the government clearly wants to define its position on the treatment of people who are not cooperating. And it's only a few weeks ago that Andrew Giles made a very clear statement that he does not accept non-cooperation. That's a fundamental government position here. They don't accept that. And this is something that the Greens totally oppose. The crossbenchers are opposing. Many in the community also oppose because there's a moral question here. Well, how can you send somebody back to Iran, for instance, if they're going to be persecuted in that country? Mm. That is the situation, though, and Labor are looking at this and passing very harsh laws or seeking to pass those through the Senate today.
Look, there's also a story in your paper today that one of the nation's most powerful public servants blindsided her two ministers by releasing key details about ex-detainees' criminal records that obviously caused the government lots of headaches. This 17-page document. Was Claire O'Neill trying to ensure that wasn't shared?
I think it was in the timing of the release. It was one of those days where I think Senate estimates were on and the information came out very early in the day, and that took some people in the government by surprise. It was a very interesting example of a scenario where, in an ideal scenario, you know, ministers don't like to be surprised.
No.
And so the timing of the release of that information did come as a surprise to people in the government, and that was something that then led to a lot of grief afterwards, and that's the story that James Masola is reporting in our papers today.
Yeah,
on that grief. Now, I don't want to overstate it, but it was a definite factor because of the way every little bit of information about the immigration detainees rebounds on the government because of this overheated political debate about the release of many former criminals.
Look, on the government's fuel efficiency standards, I spoke with Chris Bowen, the minister responsible. Does the government have a path now to pass these laws?
Yes, they do have a path to pass the laws, even though in theory, I mean, as is the situation in all these cases, they don't yet have certainty about the numbers in the Senate. But I think some of the key things about yesterday's outcome on emissions are that I've talked to people in the industry and they use phrases like workable compromise. So there's a level of satisfaction in the industry that this can work and it achieves a climate change outcome as well as improving fuel efficiency standards. Look at, yes, there's a reclassification of some of the SUVs, some of the big name ones like the Ford Everest, into the light commercial vehicle category. But the key number there is that the emission reductions for the light commercial category were going to be 60% over 5 years. Now the reduction is going to be 50% over 5 years. So it's not sort of giving away all the ambition on the emissions there. And in the passenger vehicle class, it was going to be 60% cut over 5 years. It's still going to be 60% cut over 5 years for the passenger vehicles. So there is still an outcome there that the government can point to. To be honest, I can't see a reason why the Greens would say this is not worth voting for, but we do know that there is argy-bargy over a separate bill on offshore gas. The Greens want an outcome there and are threatening to vote against the emission standards because they are not happy about offshore gas. They're really combining those two separate issues in some horse trading.
Now, Bill Shorten will introduce new legislation on the NDIS today. That's obviously been hugely contentious given the premiers have arced up about it. What will it do?
It's a really important bill. The government's got so much on at the moment, but with this NDIS bill, they're really changing the way in which plans will be managed. There has to be a tidying up, a reform of the way the NDIA agency manages plans. They've got fraud. They've also got, you know, a lot of instances of badly managed plans. They need to tidy that up. So there'll be an 18-month transition under this bill to overhaul the system, and they want a 5-year plan to then shift everybody who's on the NDIS today to a new framework. So that is the ambition. It's key to getting to the target of reducing growth in the NDIS to 8% a year. It'll still grow, but it'll grow at 8%. That's the ambition, and they need Parliament to back that, but they also need the premiers to back it, because the concern among the states is that if you get this shift in who's on the scheme, that means more people may have to fall back on state services, and that's a cost for the states to bear. And that's why we're getting this pressure point this week, where the states have written a letter to Canberra, to Bill Shorten, saying we're not happy with the state of this bill. We think it leaves the states with an uncosted future financial liability, and that's something we need clarity on before we can support what you're doing. That's the argy-bargy.
David Crowe, thanks for really appreciate your time.
No worries. Thanks, Patricia.
David Crowe, Chief Political Correspondent for The Age and the Sydney Morning Herald.
Stream any ABC radio station live and on the go. Discover new podcasts, music and audiobooks, all free on the ABC Listen app.